listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from God who creates us, from Jesus who redeems us from our sin and our brokenness, and from the Holy Spirit who continues on with us, who comforts us when we need to be comforted, and challenges us when we need to be challenged. Amen. It's a little hard to do Pentecost again, isn't it? I mean, in our ordered, structured, controlled, and in many ways comfortable lives, you know, our confession, our call to worship at the baptismal font was a little more poetic today, a little more prophetic, I think. I think it nailed it, though. This is Walter Brueggemann's words, Old Testament pastor and professor, prophet, I guess you could say. Those words that I shared at the font: so we listen, depart, and return to our ordered existence. We depart with only a little curiosity, but not yielding. We return to how it was before, unconvinced but wistful, slightly praying for wind, craving newness, wishing to have it all available to us. Brueggemann concludes in that piece, and we did, with our confession. Use that as our confession this morning. We pray toward the wind and wait, unconvinced but wistful. Description of our brokenness, our sin, our need for God's grace. With all that we have, why would we even need the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, right? I mean, she just messes things up. And by the way, Holy Spirit in the Hebrew is a feminine word. She just messes everything up. The Acts story is kind of entertaining. So it's an interesting thing to talk about today. We're a little curious, as Brueggemann says, but like our hymn at the end of the service will say, shaking loose from lethargy, whoa, breaking the chains of sin asunder for earth's healing, crumbling walls that still divide us, making us all one in Christ. That sounds nice, but let's calm down here a little bit, people. Pentecost is just a day for wearing red, maybe reading or singing in some different languages. Earth's healing, crumbling walls. Come on, Jesus. That's too much. That's too far out there. Would rather remain unconvinced but wistful. It's hard to do Pentecost, isn't it? It's hard to live Pentecost. And what we in the church talk about, the season after Pentecost, which is all the days between next Sunday all the way up to Advent, will be in the season after Pentecost. Would rather just return to our ordered existence, only a little curious, but not yielding. This is our dilemma. It's hard to yield. It's hard to let the Holy Spirit in, disordering things, dismantling things. A couple years ago, I heard a story from a new friend about Emma. I was at this training event in Chicago at the national headquarters, and I met Jan, who is a pastor, and Jan is Emma's pastor. She told me about her little larger-than-life 7-year-old. Can you imagine that? Larger-than-life member of this startup congregation in Kansas City, on the Kansas side, in sort of a suburban area. They were starting a new church there. Just imagine that. Just a couple people, a new developing community in that area, and so they were able to section out a little storefront area, and they were starting up a new church, and Jan was their pastor, and Emma was one of the members in that little congregation. They had only been gathering for a few months, and they were just beginning another typical Sunday morning service with their red hymnals like what we have, and they didn't have a nice organ, they had a synthesizer, but they would do organ music on the synthesizer. So they were singing and they were getting ready for worship, and the call to worship, like what we do at the baptismal font, was just about to start. Pastor Jan was approaching the font, getting ready to offer the opening words of confession and forgiveness, and suddenly she hears Emma's little voice go, "Stop! Stop!" See, they were at a storefront, and so a whole wall was glass, a whole wall was a window, and Emma was distracted. She was looking out into the parking lot. And she had noticed that there was a new family just arriving, even though the service was already starting. I was feeling they had a little baby. They had a stroller, and they were trying to set the stroller up, and they were kind of rushing because they knew they were late already, but they were out there in the parking lot, and Emma had seen them. And Emma says, "Stop! Stop everything!" She goes running right out through the gathering, right past the baptismal font, into the parking lot. She bursts out. She throws her arms wide open. This is a true story. She says, "Welcome! We're so happy that you're here. My name's Emma. What's your name?" The whole congregation is just watching all this out in the parking lot. They're just, "What do we do? What do we do?" Emma brings them inside. They happen to be a same-gender couple, and they had a little baby. And Emma comes back in. She bursts back into the sanctuary. By this point, she's a little winded. She's a little out of breath. And she shouts out to everybody, "This is Anna, and this is Julie, and that's baby Simon. Now we can start." Pastor Dan tells the story, and she looks up at us in this gathering as she's sharing this, and she says to us, "Best call to worship ever." Crumbling walls, yes. The gift of a storefront sanctuary where the wall is an actual window, or no walls at all. I love when we worship outside in the pavilion. What a gift it is to gather in a place where outsiders can be seen and easily welcomed in. You can see people out there in the world. And we have that too, really, with our sanctuary here, the way we have these windows. We have a great big narthex, and we have multiple points of entry. This is doing Pentecost. It's hard, though. Christ fills us this day with Emma's kind of courage. Courage to go in joy, to throw our arms open like she did and say, "Welcome! We're so glad that you're here." Can you imagine how I've always felt for that couple? Like, oh my gosh, they were so embarrassed. But that's this true joy, this true welcome. Another true story, this time from the West Coast, it happened in one of the congregations out in the desert, like the Palm Desert area. It's not all beautiful Palm Springs there. There's some rough areas in the desert, Palm Desert. Here, the service was also beginning in this congregation. It's a true story. This was a more traditional, established church. It wasn't a startup or anything. People even dressed up a little bit to go to that church. And in the desert, that means you wear a polo shirt. You know, it's a nice dress up. People were dressed up. All the usual people were gathering on Sunday morning. They were all greeting one another as they always did. And then in comes a very thin woman. We'll call her Nora. She's a white woman, but her tan skin is so dark and leathery that you can barely see the strange tattoos exposed by her tank top. Her hair is frizzy and tangled, also beaten by the sun, and her worn-out sandals are barely hanging onto her feet. The greeter, we'll call her Joan, the greeter who is always the greeter, and knows everybody who comes in by name. And Joan's even the type of person that doesn't just know your name. She knows all the personal details about everybody's life. Joan sees this wild-haired, poorly dressed, age-worn woman coming in from the parking lot. And she immediately gets both nervous and suspicious. "Hi," she says to this visitor with a forced smile. "Hi, can we help you?" "Oh, yeah," Nora starts. She's got this raspy voice from years of smoking. She's kind of peering past Joan toward the sanctuary. "Where are those service folder things?" she says. Joan sort of stops her, almost like a small bouncer. She's looking over her shoulder a little bit, and then in a hushed whisper, Joan offers some advice to Nora. Maybe you'd be a little more comfortable at the church down the street. You see, Joan knows that St. James Episcopal, which is just walking distance down on the corner, they really specialize in homeless ministry. Maybe you'd be a little more comfortable at the church down the street. The hell I would, says Nora. She comes in anyways. I need to be in here, she says, and she walks right in, finds a bulletin by herself, takes a place in one of the middle pews, nobody sits next to her, and proceeds to sing and participate enthusiastically. She's singing a little bit off key throughout the service, but she's there. The people remain nervous and suspicious. Everybody's kind of watching her out of the corner of their eye. They're really nervous at the time of the offering and the money's going around. But Nora's not going anywhere. Friends, both Nora and Emma are Pentecost characters for us today. You see, the Spirit bursts out to welcome the stranger and the outsider. And the Spirit also sometimes is the outsider that comes rushing in. I need to be in here, the Holy Spirit says also, whether we're comfortable with her or not. It's hard to do Pentecost when we're settled and comfortable. But friends in Christ, Pentecost is upon us. We don't get a say in it. We have a God who blows in and blows out with or without our permission or our parameters. This God is with us and for us. This God moves among us. Sometimes we're on board with her. Many times we're ambivalent at best. But that doesn't stop the Holy Spirit. It's no wonder in Greek and in Hebrew that same word for spirit is also wind. Just comes rushing all the time, whether we're ready for it or not. The wind broke my umbrella yesterday. Didn't ask me. The Holy Spirit is wild. She is wild. Sometimes bubbly, like young Emma, likable. Sometimes raspy, way off key, like old Nora. Sometimes gathering us in, sometimes breaking us out. Out of old ways and old suspicions. This Holy Spirit is here in our midst today. Even while it is indeed hard to do Pentecost, to not just stay wistful and unconvinced, even while it is indeed hard to do Pentecost in this coming season after Pentecost, the what now season is what I like to call it. What now, friends? The Spirit stays with us anyway. That's what now. The Spirit is here to stay. The Holy Spirit in all her wildness rests even on our heads. Burns our psyches, singes our egos, grants us visions and dreams, enables us to prophesy, that is to say things that we would never imagine ourselves to say. And in all that, we are made free. In other words, the Spirit moves us to yield. She moves us to yield and sends us forth to serve in peace. For we are made free, whether we're ready for this kind of freedom or not. We are made free. Pentecost is upon us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.